This presentation is a part of Audio Adventure Theater.
CTD Productions presents to you Christmas Storms and Sunshine, based on the short story by Elizabeth Gaskell, starring Renee Thiessen as Mrs. Hodgson and Jenna Carding as Mrs. Jenkins.
In the town of, no matter where, there circulated two local newspapers, no matter when. Every week these newspapers contained articles abusing each other, as cross and peppery as articles could be, although they seemed to have one stereotyped commencement.
Though the article appearing in last week's Examiner is below contempt, yet we have been indignant.
I say, old chap, did you see the latest issue of the Examiner?
Yeah, I'd say the Post is done for, by the look of it.
Right. The slashing clever Examiner has given them the what for.
It's a pity that Johnson thinks the Examiner worth wasting his wit upon. This style of article would be much better if used on our side.
There's no use fretting about it. The Examiner is just one of those low papers, only read by a few of the vulgar.
Well, you know, I've heard rumors recently that the Examiner is at its last gasp.
It was the day before Christmas. Such a cold east wind. Such an inky sky. Such a blue-black look in people's faces as they were driven out more than usual to complete their purchases for the next day's festival.
My dear, I wish for turkey and sausages.
Oh.
It may be a weakness, but I own I am partial to sausages. My deceased mother was. Such tastes are hereditary. As to the sweets, whether plum pudding or mince pies, I leave such considerations to you. I only beg you not mind expense. Christmas comes but once a year.
You're right, dear. Have a good day.
You will not forget the sausages, my dear.
Don't speak so loudly. You're right outside the Hodgson's door. They'll hear you.
I know it. Farewell, darling.
Ugh, such ostentatiousness. To stand right outside our door and boast about their sausages.
Speaking of Christmas dinner, Mary.
Yes, Jem?
I should like to have had something above common, Mary, but I think roast beef must do for us. You see, love, we've a family.
Only one roast beef, Jem. I don't want more than roast beef, though, I'm sure. Before I went to service, Mother and me would have thought roast beef a very fine dinner.
Well, let's settle it then. Roast beef and a plum pudding. And now, goodbye.
Bye, Jem.
Mind to take care of little Tom. I thought he was a bit hoarse this morning.
I will. Now then, let's see. What should I take care of first? Ugh! Hang that cat! He's been stealing again! He's gnawed the cold mutton in his nasty mouth till it's not fit to set before a living soul! And I've nothing else for Jen's dinner! But I'll give it to him now that I've caught him. That I will! Jen's Sunday cane should do well enough. Ugh. Now, pussy, stay still. Missed! All right, then. I won't miss this time! That'll cure you of your thievish propensities, eh, cat? How about some more?
What are you doing to my cat, Mrs. Hodgson?
Mrs. Jenkins, I wish you would take your filthy animal out of our rooms. He's gnawed my cold mutton till it's not fit to look at.
Aren't you ashamed of yourself, ma'am? To abuse a poor, dumb animal, ma'am, as knows no better than to take food when he sees it, ma'am. There is such a thing as law for brute animals. I'll ask Mr. Jenkins, but I don't think them radicals has done away with that law yet. for all their reform bill, ma'am. My poor precious love of a Tommy. Is he hurt? And is his leg broke for taking a mouthful of scraps, as most people would give away to a beggar, if he'd take them?
Oh, why did I beat the cat? Why? I really feel sorry for that poor limping animal. Oh, I wish I had not beaten him so hard, for it certainly is my own careless way of never shutting the cupboard door that tempted him to his fault. Oh, little Tom! The door banging must have woken him up. Everything is going wrong for me today. Oh, poor little Tom. Oh, are you awake? Oh, there, it's all right. Shh, it's all right. Hush, go to sleep. Just go to sleep again, dear. Hush. And now who's going to take Jim's dinner to the office? Oh, I wish I had never beaten that poor cat. I wonder if his leg really is broken. What would my mother say if she knew how cross and cruel her little Mary was getting? What if I should live to beat little Tom in one of my angry fits? Oh, dear Lord, no!
So after she had tried to feed baby, and he had fretfully refused to take his bread and milk, she laid him down as usual on his quilt, surrounded by playthings while she sided away, and chopped suet for the next day's pudding.
Oh dear, who could that be? I'm coming, just a second.
It's me, Mrs. Hodgson.
Oh, Fanny, how are you? How's your mother?
All doing well, ma'am. Mother's gone at the present moment, though.
Now, I can't remember. When is our next rent due?
Oh, don't fret about that, ma'am. Mother don't hold to any strict schedule or anything. Anyhow, that's not why I'm up here. This parcel here is for you. It just came in the mail.
Oh, I wonder who it could be from.
Well, I just came up to give you that, ma'am. I'll leave you to open your parcel.
No, don't go, Fanny. I could really use some company, as long as you've got nothing else to do.
No, nothing that can't wait, ma'am. I was just darning some stockings.
Good. Then let's see what's in this parcel. Oh, there's something wrapped up in the towel here.
And there's a note pinned to it, ma'am.
Oh.
Who's it from, ma'am?
It's from my dear, dear mother.
What's it say?
Well, it's very short. She says she didn't wish her daughter to think that she was forgotten at Christmas time. And learning that Farmer Burton was killing his pig, she made interest for some of his famous pork, out of which she made some sausages, and flavored them just as I used to like them when I lived at home.
And that's what's wrapped in the towel? Sausages?
Yes.
I can smell them.
Dear, dear mother, there never was anyone like her for remembering other folk. Oh, what rare sausages she used to make. Home things have a smack with them that no bought things can ever have.
I've a notion that if Mrs. Jenkins had ever tasted your mother's sausages, she'd have no fancy for them town-made things I took up to her just now.
No, indeed.
What's that strange sound? It's like someone dragging a chair across the floor.
Oh no! It's little Tom!
What? Little Tom?
It looks as if he can't breathe. Mother's darling. Baby, try not to make that noise. Hush, hush, darling. What hurts him? Fanny!
What is it, Mrs. Hodgson?
Look! He's almost black with his gasping breath.
Oh, ma'am, I've seen this before. He's got the crew.
Oh, no.
Oh, Mrs. Hodgson, he'll die as sure as fate. My little brother had it, and he died in no time. The doctor said he could do nothing for him. It had gone too far. He said if we put him in a warm bath at first, it might have saved him. But bless you, he was never half so bad as your baby.
Oh, my baby! My baby! Oh, love, love, don't look so ill! I cannot bear it! And my fire so low! There I was thinking of home, and peeing currants in it, never minding the fire! Oh, Fanny, what is the fire like in the kitchen? Speak!
Mother told me to screw it up, and throw some slack on as soon as Mrs. Jenkins had done with it. And so I did. It's very low on black. But oh, Mrs. Hodgson, let me read for the doctor. I cannot bear to hear him. It's so like little brother.
Yes, go, Fanny, go, quick as you can!
The kettle's almost boiling. And then we'll have some tea, won't we, Tommy? Yes. Ooh, it's getting a bit warm in here, isn't it? I'll open the window just a little bit. There. That's nice now, isn't it? Now how's your leg feeling now, Tommy? Aw, it's still sore, is it? Well, don't you worry. I won't let that mean old Mrs. Hodgson near you again. No, I won't. That's right, no need to worry. Now, I suppose I better get busy with some sewing. My nice lace cap is just about finished. My, it'll look real nice. Why, what's that? Oh, it's some carolers outside in the street. I haven't heard that old carol song since I was a little girl. Think what's come over me tonight. My head goes wandering on them old times. I'm sure more texts have come into my head with thinking on my mother within these last few minutes than I've thought on for years and years. I hope I'm not going to die. Folks say thinking too much on the dead betokens we're going to join them. I should be loath to go just yet. Such a fine turkey as we've got for dinner tomorrow, too. Now who...
Mrs. Jenkins! Oh, your kettle is boiling! Thank God! Let me have the water for my baby! For the love of God! He's got croup, and he's dying!
I'm sorry I can't oblige you, ma'am. My kettle is wanted for my tea. Don't be afeard, Tommy. Mrs. Hodgson won't venture to intrude herself where she's not desired. You'd better send for the doctor, ma'am, instead of wasting your time wringing your hands, ma'am. My kettle is engaged.
Please.
I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to leave, Mrs. Hodgson. Oh, what a brute I am. Lord, forgive me. What's my tea to a baby's life? In croup, too, where time is everything. You crabbed old vixen, you. Anyone may know you never had a child.
Oh, when is the doctor going to come? Come in! Mrs. Jenkins!
I've got the kennel here, Mrs. Hodgson. Show me where your bathtub is.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I don't want your thanks. I do it for the poor baby's sake, ma'am, hoping he may live to have mercy to poor dumb beasts, if he does forget to lock his cupboards.
Oh, I'm so sorry for hitting your poor cat this morning. Really, really, I am.
Well, we'll say no more about it. Show me where your tub is.
Oh, of course. It's in the room right over here, on the floor.
All right, now here. You take the kettle and start pouring the water in. And here's my husband's thermometer. He's as punctual as clockwork in noting down the temperature of every day.
What temperature should the water be?
90 degrees is good enough to start with. Later, we'll try to raise it to 100.
All right.
But now, before you put little Tom in the water, ma'am, I've got something else with me that should help as well.
What's that?
A mustard plaister.
A mustard plaister?
I've seen many of these creep fits, which I take it you've not, ma'am. Mustard plaisters is very sovereign, put on the throat. I've made one, ma'am, and by your leave, I'll put it on the poor little fellow.
Of course.
Now, you just hold him still there while I put it on. There.
Oh, he's in pain.
Yes, the plaister stings quite a bit.
Oh, my poor baby.
Now, that's not helping matters, ma'am. You're just making him more miserable by your crying. Here, look. I'll put the apron over my face. Peekaboo, baby! There, you see? We need to help take his mind off it until the plaister's taken effect. How warm's that water now?
Oh, look! He's better! Oh, Mrs. Jenkins, look at his eyes! How different! And he breathes quite softly.
Yes. Oh, that makes my heart wonderfully more easy.
Oh, that's probably the doctor.
Hello. Are you Mrs. Hodgson?
Yes, I am. Come right this way, doctor.
Well, he doesn't seem to be doing too poorly at the moment.
Well, we gave him a warm bath and also applied a mustard plaster.
Yes, after that he started to look much improved.
I see. Well, Mrs. Hodgson, from what I can see, your baby really is a lot better.
Oh, thank God!
It has been a sharp attack. But the remedies you have applied have been worth all the pharmacopoeia an hour later. I shall send a powder and some other stuff to you later. But for now, I'd just say keep an eye on him and call me if there's any change. And I don't think there will be.
Thank you, Doctor.
The little gentleman slept well after the fright he had given his friends. And on Christmas morning, when Mary awoke and looked at the sweet little pale face lying on her arm, she could hardly realize the danger he had been in.
Mary, guess what?
What, Jem?
When I went downstairs, the household was in a commotion. What do you think had happened?
Why, I don't know, I'm sure.
Well, Pussy has been a traitor to his best friend and eaten up some of Mr. Jenkins' own especial sausages and gnawed and tumbled the rest so that they are not fit to be eaten. There are no bounds to that cat's appetite. He would have eaten his own father if he had been tender enough. And Mrs. Jenkins stormed and cried, "Hang the cat!"
Oh, on Christmas Day, too, and all the shops shut.
I heard Mr. Jenkins say, "What was turkey without sausages?"
Oh, Jem, what a piece of work he's been making about sausages. I should like to take Mrs. Jenkins up some of Mother's. They're twice as good as bought sausages.
I see no objection, my dear. Sausages do not involve intimacies, else his politics are what I can in no ways respect.
But, oh, Jem, if you had seen her last night about the baby, I'm sure she may scold me forever, and I'll not answer. I'd even make her cat welcome to the sausages.
Better take them upstairs, my dear, and give them to the cat's mistress.
What must I say, Jem? I never know.
Say, I hope you'll accept of these sausages as my mother. No, that's not grammar. Say what comes uppermost, Mary. It will be sure to be right.
Come in.
Oh, why, Mrs. Hodgson. To what do I owe the pleasure?
Please take these. My mother made them.
Oh. Why, I... Thank you. Oh. Huh.
Who was that, dear?
It was Mrs. Hodgson.
Oh, what did she want?
She didn't say much, but she gave me these sausages.
Yes, who is it?
It's me, Fanny.
Come in.
What is it, Fanny?
I was asked to deliver Mr. and Mrs. Jenkins' compliments, and they would be particular glad if Mr. and Mrs. Hodgson would eat their dinner with them.
And carry baby upstairs in the shawl, be sure.
Jem?
Do you think it would do for baby?
Oh, yes. I would wrap him up so warm.
And I've got a room up to 65 already, for all it's so frosty.
Well, I don't know. I don't like the idea of taking him up so soon after what's happened.
Mrs. Jenkins? Do you think you and your husband could come down and have dinner in our room instead?
Of course, Mrs. Hodgson. Wonderful idea. I don't know why I didn't think of it. Now I'll go tell my husband and don't you worry about a thing.
So Mr. and Mrs. Jenkins came down into the Hodgson's room and dined there. Turkey at the top, roast beef at the bottom, sausages at one side, potatoes at the other. Second course, plum pudding at the top and mince pies at the bottom. And after dinner, Mrs. Jenkins insisted on taking baby on her knee. And he seemed quite to take to her. She declared he was admiring the real lace on her cap. But Mary thought, though she did not say so, that he was pleased by her kind looks and coaxing words. After tea, Mrs. Jenkins and Mary found out each other's mutual liking for music and sat singing old glees and catches till I don't know what o'clock, without one word of politics or newspapers. Before they parted, Mary had coaxed Pussy onto her knee, for Mrs. Jenkins would not part with baby, who was sleeping on her lap.
When you're busy, bring him to me. Do now, it will be a real favor. I know you must have a deal to do, with another coming. Let him come up to me. I'll take the greatest of cares of him. Pretty darling, how sweet he looks when he's asleep.
Do you know, Burgess tried to make me believe Hodgson was such a fool as to put paragraphs into the Examiner now and then. But I see he knows his place, and has got too much sense to do any such thing.
Mary, love, I almost fancy from Jenkins's way of speaking, so much civiller than I expected, he guesses I wrote that pro bono and the rosebud. At any rate, I've no objection to your naming it, if the subject should come uppermost. I should like him to know I'm a literary man.
Well, I've ended my tale. I hope you don't think it too long. But before I go, just let me say one thing. If any of you have any quarrels or misunderstandings or coolnesses, or cold shoulders, or shynesses, or tiffs, or miffs, or huffs with anyone else. Just make friends before Christmas. You will be so much merrier if you do. I ask it of you for the sake of that old angelic song, heard so many years ago by the shepherds, keeping watch by night on Bethlehem Heights.
In Christmas Storms and Sunshine by Elizabeth Gaskell, dramatized for audio by Caleb Thiessen, you heard Brian Thiessen as the narrator, Renee Thiessen as Mrs. Hodgson, Jenna Carding as Mrs. Jenkins, Caleb Thiessen as Mr. Hodgson, Natalie Carding as Fanny, and Chad Carding as Mr. Jenkins. Other parts were played by Lucas Carding, Reed Thiessen, yours truly, and members of the aforementioned cast. The program was produced by Caleb Thiessen, and I am Ray Thiessen. Christmas Storms and Sunshine by Elizabeth Gaskell was brought to you by CTD Productions.
The Audio Adventure Theater theme was composed by Garrett Vandenberg. Be sure to check out our website at ctdproductions.blogspot.com.